You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on September 6, 2023, and is titled, Here or There. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Man, that's some good stuff, and I'll tell you, it kind of set the stage for the night, so here's what we're going to do tonight, and I encourage you to keep up. But I'm going to start in Philippians 1, verse 12. I'm going to finish in verse 26. I'm not going to expound a lot on each piece of this scripture. I'm going to read it to you here in just a second, but I'm going to lay the groundwork right now. This David's tent thing is God is providential. So a lot of things get orchestrated by our Father. Whether we obey, you know, when we obey and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'll end up in the right place at the right time, even when it don't look like it. And so sharing that tonight, prior to my meeting in the morning. So let me tell you some things that the Lord showed me while you were talking, Murph, because there's a lot to this. I've got a friend in North Dakota, and I hope he's watching tonight. I can't remember exactly when they were headed to David's tent, but he called me the other day, and he said, I've been invited to David's tent. And he said, I know the people in your church have been there and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, when I have a word for you, I will have a word for you. I'll call you. Well, he texted me the other day, and he said, I'm ready for my word. And I said, as soon as I get it, I'll let you know. I'm just not very good at making stuff up. Well, the deal behind that, I had forgotten about Robert Hunt. And I had forgotten about that covenantal prayer and that declaration that was done right there on our soil in what, 1608 or 1609, wasn't it? And so, anyhow, he made covenant with God, not unlike the Mayflower Compact that was done in 1620. Those are all covenantal things. Do you know this is why the kitchen table is so important to the outcome of not only our personal lives, but the outcome of America? Because the kitchen table is covenantal. That's a covenant between God, man, and woman. And the Bible says a cord of three strands not easily broken. And so when that's all established, it's all covenantal. That covenant was established right there in the early 1600s when God and some other people, or a man, Robert and some other people, and God came in communion together with each other and established that covenant. Those covenants of God never are null and void, even when they lay idle. I don't have time to go into how I learned all that, and I'm just hitting the high spots. But when I walked into Laird, North Dakota 2 years ago, year before last, when I walked into a tabernacle that was 100 years old, that had been built by a bunch of Russians that had come over to North Dakota, Christians, and they built a wood barn, big circular wood barn, that would have as many as 1,200 people in there at certain times, and they covenanted that land with God. And that as a place of worship, not unlike David's tent. David's tent, when you go study the Ark of the Covenant, David's tent, that was all covenantal. That was all about the presence of God. And so when they established that tabernacle in Lair, and I really hope Jim's listening, but if he's not, I'm calling him first thing in the morning if I don't do it tonight, because he's got to take this word to David's tent, and he's got to take it back to his people. But when I got to Lair, and some of you heard the story, but When I got there that night and got off the airplane, they'd asked me if I wanted to stay in a motel room, or there was a little old cot in a shower right behind the stage where you preach in this 100-year-old building. And I said, no, I want to stay right here. I'm not going anywhere. And so when I first get there, before I'm supposed to speak that night, I'm sitting there in my little room, and I said, Lord, show me what's going on here. And I saw the angels that had been there for 100 years. The day the covenant was made, God established his heavenly host. He established his holy presence. He established the kingdom of God and everything in the midst of the heavenly host. Everything was there, and there were angels that were encamped around that building that had been there for 100 years. That thing had been laying idle. because God's people weren't obedient to the Holy Spirit and they weren't tending to it. So he brought men from different parts of the country, even outside the United States of America, to Laird, North Dakota. It's a little bitty, bitty place. It's cold up there. And they came, realizing now it was about this tabernacle and about God's covenant. That vision I had while I was there, somebody had pretty near the same vision the year before, other than it was 6,000 angels encamped around the outside on the outer perimeters of that property. Now, I want you to listen to this real good, because you won't hear this anywhere. But when Robert Hunt set his foot on American soil before there ever was an America, and he made covenant with God for the generational advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those things were written in the archives of heaven, and they are never nullified. You can run from it. You can deny it. You can do whatever the crud you want to. But let me tell you, my God in heaven still knows what happened that day in 1600-whatever. Covenant was made on this land. And because we're a generational disaster, it's not really our fault, but it will be our fault if the next one is. That covenant stands on whatever day you want God to blow the dust off of that covenant and say, come on, repent. And here's how it works. Everybody knows, as Texas goes, so goes the nation. It's no wonder America's a prideful disaster. Because we know we're the lifeblood of food, fuel, and fiber. And I get to tell this story tomorrow morning to the head of the Budget Committee of the United States of America and all his staff. God's timing is perfect. Our pride, my pride as a Texan, you know, always going to help you New Mexico people because, I mean, you just ain't got it like we do. It's not right. It's not right. And we became that way as Americans. And so 21 years ago, we're coming up now here in a week on 9/11. And we had disaster on our American soil. And we inscripted our fearless leader, George W., Isaiah 9, we will rebuild. Cedars have fallen, the home stones have broken. We'll rebuild. We'll do this. Right now, this brings me almost to tears because I can see God take that 1600 covenant and go, okay, do your best. I've been doing this with you the whole time. You want to do this on your own? Go ahead. We'll just let the dust settle. And nothing will happen. If the United States of America wants to do this without the assistance of the Almighty, then let our pride take us to the pit. Let our prideful, arrogant attitude take us to the absolute bottom depths of humanity. Let us totally forsake the cause of freedom, the freedom to preach the gospel, to live the gospel and tell the truth about the gospel, the way that Robert Hunt believed that we could, the way Samuel Davies believed we could, the way Samuel Edwards believed we could, the way John Wesley believed we could, the way George Whitefield believed we could, the way that John Peter Muhlenberg believed we could when he stepped out of his pulpit on January 21st, 1776 and went right straight to the front lines of the Revolutionary War. All these guys were in unison with God because of a covenant that was established and will never be nullified. And we threw a blanket over our history. The generations don't even know what we're talking about. And it's time for America to quit teaching about Jesus, quit teaching people how to be a Christian, get off the methods, get off the theories, preach the name of Jesus. I've watched way too many the drug addicts run the mountain, I'll be up and down and in and out. And I'm gonna tell you when you don't back up is when you've met the living God face to face and you've decided what you're gonna do. When you simply got somebody else's story, you simply going on somebody else's thing, and then you got somebody to train you how to be a Christian. You don't need anybody to train you how to be a Christian. The author and perfecter of this very book dwells richly within you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. So when I read this text right here tonight, I don't have to teach out of it. I just got to read it. Because tonight, now you have built another fire in me. There is a movement going on in this country, and it is a remnant of God. It's a people who are going to do this with the assistance of the Almighty, that believe in the cause of freedom, that believe in the power of the Almighty. They believe who we are as Americans. They believe that we should humble ourselves before our fellow man, that we should lift up the name of Jesus, that we should lift up the nation of Israel, that we should lift up other nations around, that we should not be a Steve Friscop all the time, but we should be able to sit next door to a Muslim and tell him about Jesus. I got to do better at what I do, and I've got to do better at who I am so that I can have a moment like Merv had. Not grab that guy around the ears and tell him I'm just going to pray the devil out of him. Hold him down on the ground until he gets saved. You hear what I'm talking about tonight? This is by the Lord's orchestration. This isn't Steve standing up here slaying another lion. This is the Lord delivering our country back into our hands, delivering our families back into our hands. When they walk up here, you know what my marriage counseling is? It don't take very long. It's Acts 5. You want to lie to God? Go ahead. Vows are binding and they don't get undone. Oh, you might get tired of sharing the same toothbrush one of these days, but it don't matter. Covenants don't get undone. These things are established. And we're called to walk in them. Whether it's fun or not, or whether you're happy or not, nobody gives two hoots about your feelings. We got to do this. And so when Paul writes to the church of Philippi in verse 12, he said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me, and there's nothing fun happened to Paul. He said, the things that have happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. We're so dumb anymore that we believe if it goes a little sideways or it's a little hard or we offend somebody or they don't like it, we must have missed God. You know, if God was in this, we'd all be happy. If God was in this, this would be fun. If God was in this, I'd just be blessed. When's the last time one of you spent Christmas vacation chained to a wall, standing in a cistern, proclaiming the glory of God? Paul said, these things that have happened to me happen for the furtherance of the gospel. We quit promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we started promoting heaven. And he said, so that it was become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, all this stuff that's happening to me, the hand of God is on me. And all these guys that are doing this to me, they're recognizing it. And the ones who are on my team, man, they're getting bold. They're getting fired up. Do I live in a way that fires somebody up? Do I live in a way, do I put myself out there, do I live in a way daily that people would recognize that the hand of God is with me? When all the wheels are coming off the wagon, does God get the glory or are we going to give devil credit? One thing about those of you who are left around here, you're smart enough not to tell me how great your ministry is by what the devil's been doing to you. Oh, that wears me out. We must be fixing to do really good because the devil's coming at. Well, you idiot. You're going to do good because of Jesus. And it's liable to be hard. And it's liable to cost you something. Cost Paul everything he had. And he didn't care because he was in it for something other than himself. He was in it for somebody else. One of the things that he did that has really helped me, I have to go back and read about Paul because, you know, he raised the bar really high. You know, one of the problems with being the guy who's kind of sets the bar for everybody else? We do this in America, you know, you set the bar really low so everybody can touch it. We do it in church, too. Set the bar really low so everybody can touch it. Paul, holy moly, he says right here, and here's the deal. Have I created a lifestyle that creates confidence in my family and the people around me, confidence in their covenant with God that they will speak without fear? Because I believe if true Christians in America today for the last 70 years would have stood up and spoke without fear, we'd be living in a different place. But I think we muzzled ourselves to the point that, here, y'all do it. Nobody wants to say that. No, because we're still praying every week. God, you got to fix our country. God, you got to fix our schools. God, you got, I mean, we've got all kind of weird stuff. God, you got to fix this. There's nobody got guts enough to tell you there's a real good chance he's got his fingers in his ears. There's a real good chance he's had enough. I hope when them North Dakotans get there to David's tent, they'll speak about the covenant that happened in Lair, North Dakota, and they'll be reminded of what you guys found, Murphs, and they'll talk about that covenant, and they'll talk about what's still available, because every angel that God put there in 1600, they're still there. Most people won't believe it because you don't know the ones that are with you. And he says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add the affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. That's helping me right there. I need help with that. But I figured it out today why I have so much trouble with some of the proclamation about Jesus Christ in America today. All the way from the Frozen Chosen to the Name It, Blab It, Grab It, Claim It group. I can pick all that apart. But the truth of the matter is, if Jesus is proclaimed, not the teaching. The teaching in America today stinks to high heaven. The methods stink to high heaven. But if Jesus is proclaimed, whether it's out of selfish ambition, or whether it's done out of love of your family and love of God and love of your country, either way, if Jesus proclaimed, that opens a door for somebody to seek him. You'll not find Jesus because I preach good. You'll find Jesus because you're looking for him. Big difference. That's why you got so many people in the world today that claim to know Jesus because they've been hanging out with people who claim to know Jesus. You either know him or you don't. If you know him, you know you know him. And you know there's something going on in you. The methods and all the stuff, that's what gets so confusing. Maybe I'll just read my Bible from here on out and we'll proclaim Jesus. And when you get born again, you too will have the Holy Spirit who can teach you the Bible. And maybe out of the love of your family, you'll find time every day to search the Scriptures and become a student of the Word, because that's what disciple means, to be a student of the Word. And when the Bible tells us that we are to make disciples, do you know I can't make any of you do anything? That word actually means in the Greek text to create the atmosphere for. I do that very well. We walk in the presence of God, and this book is open every time we come together. Now go find out for yourself. You got to go do this for yourself. Nobody can do it for you. And that's what Paul is telling the church at Philippi. He said, I don't care. You got people out here who are making money off this deal. You got people doing all kinds of stuff. And then there are people who actually love God and they actually love each other. But Jesus is proclaimed. Jesus is proclaimed. Not Mule Shoe Fellowship, not Steve, not Billy Graham, not Jesus. He is our only hope. And until the church starts living in a way that Jesus is revealed and we become bold again, we don't stand a chance. Until we repent and humble ourselves before the Lord, that he would reenact, that he would open this back up and say, okay, y'all want to do what Robert Hunt was talking about? Can you hear God? Listen to me, people. 400 years later. That's important because the promise made to Abraham took 430 years to reach completion, but they knew what they were doing when Joshua got there because the generations had been told. The landmarks had been set and nobody moved them, and everybody knew. And so when it came time for the fulfillment of the promise, so 400 years later, can you hear God saying, look, Robert and I stood right there and we came into agreement about the future of a nation. Now, if y'all will have the same heart he had, we can do this. We can do this. Maybe we should take our eyes off Joe Biden and put them on Robert Hunt. That's a good word. We got an election coming up next year, and everybody's going to get their shorts in a knot and wadded up. And you've already got, oh, there's more stuff going on already. It's absolutely nuts. But let me tell you something. This isn't about an election. It's about a movement. And I'm not going to shut up about it either. It's about a movement that's going to require us to be bold. We're going to have knowledge. And we're going to have some courage. And we're going to have some love for each other so we can stand together. I believe now with all my heart that I'm going to have to stand with some people I don't like. Just being honest, I ain't the only one in here that doesn't like somebody. But we're going to have to, in this movement, if you believe in that promise, because that covenant, the Lord just spoke to me. That covenant made right there, was it 1608? 1607. That covenant made right there in 1607 with Robert Hunt had no time limit on it. No time limit on it. This is a good stuff. So he says right here, and I'll finish up, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ while he's in chains. He said, according to my earnest expectation and hope in nothing, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.